You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So I, full disclosure, I watched this today while I was doing a half day working from home, and I just came back from a visit back home to see my mother and father, who I gotta say, you know, I love them both, but man, this is like, watching this movie, it felt like I never left home for a little bit, for a small part of it. I don't know, maybe that's just me. But
what, your father can transform back and forth into a turtle and your mother is a raging, horrible actress?
Oh, come on. She's a
talented actress. She's a horrible person.
But anyway, we are getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. No, it's just, you know, it's just like that whole, like, oh, I don't really, you know, you guys were there, but, you know, when I was a kid, but I don't know you guys that well and you don't know me that well, but hey, we love each other, so that's cool. But yeah, so we are talking about The Truth, which is this new French indie drama starring arguably two of the country's leading actresses working today. The legendary Catherine Deneuve, who is still so gorgeous in age 75 now. I mean, I could just like, you know, she's not, wouldn't be called a, you know, a sex kitten, but oh my god, I could just stare at her face and her eyes all day long. You know, not equally legendary, but still legendary in her own right, Juliette Binoche.
Lumiere, played by Binoche, along with her American husband Hank, played by Ethan Hawke, and their daughter returned to her childhood home to celebrate the release of her mother Fabienne's, that's Deneuve's character, her autobiography. The book, along with Fabienne's current role in a sci-fi film about a mother who never ages, pulls at like these really long-standing emotional tensions between Lumiere and Fabienne. You know,
with a lot
French
of
drama ensues, I guess.
You know, seriously, which wouldn't be so bad right now after the day I've had. But this is, you know, one of those classic sort of like pensive dramas. People are just, you know, oftentimes, you know, talking in like, you know, sort of like musing sort of sentences, and they're just staring off into space, having like reflective moments. And there is, I mean, that's what a lot of this film is. And it's, you know, there's a lot of regrets and, you know, sort of fractured or very compromised relationships in here. But it took me a little while, but I found this really compelling at some point, you know, I think toward the midpoint. I think once we see Fabienne on the set of this sci-fi film, which is, you know, really where she's at now. And, you know, she hasn't reconciled with where her career is now and the type of film she needs to do now and the type of actress she is now. And I feel like we see her start to unravel a lot in that setting, and just continuously get more and more sort of like fragile as she goes on, and then, you know, as a result, we see Lumiere look at her in a different way. I thought that was really interesting, the way that these two relationships evolved around the set of this like sci-fi film. I thought that was interesting. That was a real turning point for me. I know. What do you think?
Okay, I guess I'll step in. I am the polar opposite. I couldn't stand this movie. Luanne, you're right. She's not a horrible actress. She's actually an excellent actress. She is a diva. A hardcore classic diva.
Deneuve or Fabienne?
Yes, Deneuve.
Okay, good.
Deneuve. Julie Binoche's character, she's just very cynical and jaded because she had a very troubling childhood. But because of Deneuve. The thing is with this movie, as a whole, actually, I will concede it is interesting. I have an issue with the details. One of the details that sticks out to me the most is a score. Every so often, it'll dip into this whimsical score, kind of sounds like a magical film or like something like a fantasy movie type of score, like a family match fantasy adventure. That's what the score reminded me of, something like in The Hobbit almost. Not that whimsical, but close to it. I see the intent. It's just it felt too blunt. A lot of things they kept doing, they would say one of the things that kept occurring, and I was that the dialogue would say one thing and then the action would be another, or then it'll be contradicted later on. And I got that, but after a while it just started to get a little frustrating to me. And then at a certain point it seemed like they were trying to excuse the Dillinu's character, which I didn't. I hate her from the beginning, I hate her by the end. I even started getting vindictive. Like, I'm serious. Like, when they start to have this sentimental moment, I'm like, that's not real. Kiss my ass.
I liked that moment, except for the way where they took it. I thought you didn't have to take it to that place. The way that capped that scene off. I thought, why'd you do that? I didn't like it. I agreed with that part.
I didn't agree with the sentimental part.
See, that's where it got a little too It got a little too, I don't know. If that felt a little bit forced, and it felt sort of inauthentic in this film. There's this one moment when they're hugging.
It did not for me.
I felt like it was trying to just, you know, I don't know. It was trying to put like a big old, you know, kick me sign on this film. I think in the way when it did that. There's this moment right before that though when they're embracing. And Deneuve closes her eyes as, you know, Binoche, she's embracing Binoche. And that moment when she's closing her eyes, I thought, oh, that is such a beautiful moment, because she is really just absorbing the feeling of, you know, her child in her arms. And it's a feeling that she hasn't had a lot of in her life, and mainly, you know, not mainly, but because of her doings. And she's like really sort of basking in the warmth of that, and she's letting herself enjoy it, even though she knows she doesn't deserve it. And then they cut
exactly
to that
exactly
little...
she doesn't deserve it.
And then they
exactly
basically,
yeah,
then,
she yeah, doesn't
exactly
deserve
the record,
it.
The record scratches, yeah, absolutely. But I don't know about you
exactly
guys.
I
think that I kept on thinking about I thought about Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher. I thought about, you know, all these different actresses and their daughters. And I thought about Catherine Deneuve, whose only child is Chiara Mastroianni, who's from her relationship with Marcello Mastroianni, the great Italian leading man, actor of his day. And I'm wondering, like, how postmodern is this? Or how, you know, is this really is life imitating art? Maybe this is why that Deneuve is so compelling in this film. I don't know. I kept on thinking of that with every scene. Like, how close is this to you?
The thing, this is the interesting, well, maybe it's not interesting. I'm kind of in the middle between the two of you on this. Frank, you clearly really, really like this.
Nope.
And London,
nope,
you do not. And I'm right in the middle on that, because there's a lot of it that I really liked. Visually, there's a lot I really appreciate. I think from the opening shot, I think that's excellent, because it looks almost still, and then you see like the subway running kind of underneath, and you realize that there is movement in it, and it looks good. But it's also sort of intentionally or not, visually, this metaphor for the movie, because there's everything that you see, but there's the stuff running underneath that's actually in motion. This is not normally the type of film I watch a lot of, particularly for review. Like, if you follow this podcast at all, you know that I mostly get like horror and sci-fi and stuff like that. And so this one I was sold on mainly because I kind of wanted a break, and I'll watch Ethan Hawke in about anything. And I have the additional benefit of Binoche and Deneuve as well. So, okay, great. And the trailer sold me on this could be at least interesting, or I'm not going to hate it. None of it is subtle, okay? It's not ham-fisted, it's not ridiculous, but I could see the writing. Oh, this scene is about this thing, and this scene is about this thing, and this scene is about this thing, and these things together sort of, it's all there.
You didn't feel that moment at the end when the mother-daughter moment just all of a sudden breaks up? You didn't feel that was... What was your take on that? I'm curious, because I felt that was really ham-fisted.
Yeah, no, I don't think any of it was particular. That was, I mean, like I said, I literally joked about a record scratch, but that's kind of what it feels like. Also, if I'm the director of the movie that she's in, and she comes to me and says we need to shoot this all over again, I'm gonna say no.
Betty Davis did that.
We've
Betty
got
Davis
what we need
for one of her films back in the day. She had that kind of power.
But that's just it. I don't do a lot of dramas, and so I don't know what is like sort of the normal drama trope, right? Like do the things I see hit the things that you always see in these or not? I don't have enough reference there, but I know enough about writing or movies that I saw a lot of it, and the thing that saved it and the reason why I don't hate it, like maybe London seems to, is that I was willing to go along for the ride because of the people I was watching. And it's not just Deneuve and Binoche and Hawke, but the other minor actors as well. I don't know. They may be more well-known to the French audiences than they were to me. I liked all the minor actors. I liked the scenes. I actually liked the actress that's Fabienne's mother in the sci-fi.
That plot's movie was so that movie's plot rather was so I loved that it was that it provided a lot of the catalyst for a lot of her undoing. You know, this is a woman who's like, you know, spent decades having a very controlled facade. And, you know, actors, they don't really like to live in the real world, obviously. And so, you know, when she's on the set of this movie, like she's confronted with her life and what she's made of it, you know, in terms of what she's made it out to be, you know, by hiding away from it and like role after role after role. I don't know. I thought those were the most interesting parts of this film, is watching her be confronted with like essentially her past, her whole life and her past every time she walked onto the set.
Yeah, well, and that's actually one of those things where all of those things are absolutely true. There's nothing incorrect about what you said, but that also sometimes felt sort of on the nose for what they were doing. And I think that's kind of where I am, because I use the term ham-fisted, and I don't really mean it. It's none of it is clumsy or anything like that, but some of it feels very on the nose. And it also feels like, well, if I'm making those connections, maybe they're fairly obvious. I don't know if it is.
Well, I don't know. It's like, because I know what you said with I don't know, I think with dramas, it's all because there's only like so many. I know we talked about this off mic last time. How remember London? We said what was that? Only Seven Stories. Someone
yeah,
like, we hate that theory that there's only seven stories to tell.
I completely disagree with it, because when you look at them, it's obviously wrong. Like, he lists all the stories out there. It's like, no, there's more than that.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. It's just that some stories can't help but bleed into, you know, there's common elements that you'll find throughout, and I think that's the case here. But especially that's the case with drama as a genre in general. So I think a long time ago I had to stop just trying to find anything original in terms of just like, you know, plot points or revelations.
Sure.
And just I said, you know, if I'm going to watch a drama, I'm just going to let it wash over me, and whatever emotional beats come my way, that's what's meant to register. And I've liked a lot more drama since then, since taking up that method. But I think that was the case here, because there isn't a lot, you know, it's hard. This movie, like so many movies of its kind, is family therapy, you know, and at the end of the day. And, but I think that the way it's presented, makes it stand out for me.
See, I wasn't looking for originality. I was just looking for believability, and I didn't believe in this story. Like, I didn't believe in, because I feel like the Deneuve was a toxic character. You know, she was charming because she was an actor. She was an excellent artist for what she was, what she did. But her actions led to a schism in her family. And honestly, that's the consequences of it. So I feel like you have to deal with it. I don't believe that you should have, you can have a redemption arc. I think what you've done, you've ruined the world and you ruined your life, and that's how it should be. And I think trying to make it seem like, oh, she's actually a witch, and making this whimsical story behind that, making her loving to her granddaughter, which I didn't believe either. And so I think all of this I do believe it's a little ham-fisted and silly.
What are you talking about, believability or likability?
I don't know, not believability with her. I'm talking about believability with the other characters around her. Like the fact that, you know, the daughter's being, everyone's being forgiving of her behavior. Her's having these moments where she says that, like, my sharp tongue isn't as bad as of someone saying with good intention something that's appropriate. I'm like, yeah, you can, you know, that's stuff, statements like that. Are they're trying to shine her on a higher pedestal. It's just something that I just disagree with, or the fact that characters are so willing to accept it, especially because usually in late in age, especially later in age, when actors are at a certain point, people do just start to separate themselves from them.
No, that's fair enough. They get like sort of wrapped up, like, oh my god, I love doing this thing 20 years ago, you know, sort of the legendary sort of, mm-hmm. you know, this, they just become like sycophants at that point. But I think I can see why everybody else put her on a pedestal, and, you know, the Binoche character didn't. It's because, you know, she probably has more reason than anybody else in the world not to. You know, their sort of like caustic relationship really makes sense. Like the granddaughter doesn't know, has never, you know, had they even met before? I think they met like once or something. That Binoche is the only one that really does not need to buy into her mother's charms or be wowed by her or be impressed by her. She's the only one that doesn't really need to be forgiven because, you know, she was the only one that's her child. She was the only one that was, you know, quote unquote, raised by her. I don't know. I think I got those dynamics. Like, I understood why they were the way they were. And I don't know. There you go. I haven't seen any of his other films. Are you guys?
No, I haven't checked him either. Yeah, no.
No. I know that, like, he did Shoplifters, which was the movie that everybody wanted, that was like raving about, like the indie movie to see a couple years ago. And I got to admit, I did not see that. I was not part of that crowd. But I was thinking about this structure of this film. I don't know how to describe it. It had a first act that was sort of, you know, sort of going through the motions, and then it had a middle act that just sort of really just was so, like, I don't know, so even keeled and really just didn't just sort of like just lay there, and then it had a third act that was so, I felt like, more plot heavy than anything else. But I don't know. I thought his structure was really kind of unpredictable. I didn't really. There wasn't like a. That's really my only complaint about this film, is that it really didn't have like a. The flow was sort of like choppy for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of it?
No, you already know my issues. I'm sorry, Luane.
No, it's fine. At this point we could probably wrap it up before we start repeating ourselves.
Okay, well, who wants to start with final thoughts?
I've said my piece for all of the negative things that I've said, but I honestly, as much as I didn't like the movie, I did enjoy the performances. It was shot very competently. There was a little meta moment which kind of annoyed me, where it says that they hated shaky cam. It's like, yeah, I get it. That's why there was like no shaky cam in the whole movie, which I agree with to some points. I'm like, yes, it's nice to have a tripod, so I appreciate that. One of the things that bugged me the most was the score. I thought it was, I thought it was ham-fisted. I don't think it was sloppy. I just think the parts by themselves are too blunt, and they're all overshadowing each other. The high score, the dialogue that contradicts itself, the other points, which I'm not saying the contradictions are wrong. I'm just saying it's very blatant. And I think that this is a valiant effort. I'm not in for what it is, but I think there it could. Maybe in the future it could be polished up a little bit more. Maybe do a little bit more subtlety, tone down some of the other elements to make certain other parts of the filmmaking shine. and I think maybe probably one of my biggest gripes is I don't like the way they rewarded the Dylan News character. I feel like I don't like reinforcing negative behavior, especially or toxic behavior. I have my own issues behind that. I'll talk about after recording. It reminded me of another movie called South Mountain, which frustrated me too, but I just but past all that. So I'm gonna, but be that as it may, I'm actually, my rating's gonna surprise you. I'm gonna give this 7.5 cups of lukewarm cups of tea out of 10.
Seven lukewarm cups of tea and one that was just
that's the one
hot.
I drank
half a star that was scalding hot. Anyways, that's the one you drank. Lloyd.
It may not seem like it, but I'm more positive than negative on this film. Like I said before, the camera work is good. It looks good. The cast is great. I'm with London. I don't know that the score works really well. I think that feels sort of uneven. I mean, sometimes the whimsical thing works, but it's just not consistent. I do think for me, at least, the writing is visible. Which would be a bigger issue if the director were less competent or the cast were less enjoyable to watch or whatever. But I can, in some sense, like you, get by a lot on the emotion of the scene or the performances, even though that I know objectively there's some issues I have with the writing. I'm pretty much kind of in the middle, like I said, with you guys. So arbitrary rating for this is going to be 3 out of 5 tortoises.
Name Pierre. If we could all just turn our X's into tortoises, well, that would be fuck up a lot more tortoises around here. But that's cool. No, for me, the two chief complaints I have about this film is the flow and the pacing. It was a little too uneven for my taste. Especially in the middle, where I felt like it kind of sagged for a good 20 minutes, but it rebounded. And the Ethan Hawke character, you can tell going into this, watching the trailers, he is not important. Not all that important, other than to establish that, the life that the Binoche character has made for herself outside of her upbringing and how far away she wanted to go from her upbringing. To find a life of her own.
Yeah, he's basically a plot device.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, what do you mean? What happened to you when you were a kid? Please tell me so the audience can know too. No, it's like, yeah, how did they get together? Because there seems like he has like a, they try to give him, I hate when they try to give like somebody like a trait and they think that's actually characterization. You know, like with, like they say that, they allude to the fact that he's like an alcoholic or a former alcoholic in this, at one point, I'm thinking, all right, that's not going to go anywhere. But those two gripes aside, I really like this. I love a film that you can just, especially a drama that you can just like lay back in and just let it, just wash over you, and you can just, like I said before, you can just take what you take from it, what you take from it in terms of the emotion. And I think it works because, even this set against the world of, French cinema, this is like a lot of like families, a lot of broken families who are broken for whatever reasons, who are sort of, they do have these compromised relationships with each other. I'm going to be the opposite of you, London, since that I really like watching redemption in film, and I like seeing people's cases for redemption and seeing what prompts somebody to give that redemption. And I was saying on Chris called me out a little bit on the End of the World recently, because I really don't care anything about likability in terms of characters. I really don't care about it doesn't matter to me how angelic a character is or how bad they've been before. I want to know where they are now in their lives, and that's I like seeing that, and I love seeing this woman at the most reflective part of her life and saying, and having to say in her own way, because, culturally and just in the way the way she's wired, can't naturally say, hey, I fucked up. And I love seeing where that goes. And I love seeing you know, what the Binoche character does with that. I thought that was really interesting for me. And yeah, I say this was my cup of tea. I liked it a lot. These two actresses are really, they're at the top of their game, and you understand why they're legends. So yeah, I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 bad sci-fi films that I don't really know what that plot of that thing was, but that's not something that I would probably ever want to check out.
I'm going to make myself a nice lukewarm cup of tea and call it a night.
Yeah. I'm going to get a glass of wine, wait for a tortoise to show up.